It's Thursday, May 26th, and you're tuned in to the 10AB podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek She Cult Show. We talk about all the cool things in the whole wide world. It was Victoria Day weekend here in Canada.
It was.
And upcoming is Memorial Day weekend in America.
Yeah, who cares? Whatever.
American
trash.
I mean, this week especially, right?
Oh, hey, whoa. I wasn't going to go there, dude. Holy moly. Mamma mia. Pizzeria.
Dude, that shit's fucked up. That shit's fucked up.
A little bit.
And then I'm just like,
I just don't know what could be the problem, honestly. Like, I don't know what it could be. It
can't be gun laws, man.
It's probably those goddamn video games.
Probably.
You know?
Have you heard of Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah,
That shit's dangerous.
Who is that lawyer who got disbarred?
The funny thing is, like, I saw a story today saying, like, oh, the Canadian copycat tried to do it. And in Toronto, there was a guy walking around schools with a gun. With a gun.
And Canada cops
shot him. So,
brah.
I guess
that
ended
dude. That
story.
Don't fuck with Scarborough kids, all right? They'll shoot you down.
I guess so. Cool. Wicked. Yeah. There was a story I was going to open up with, but I lost my train of thought.
Too busy making edgy jokes. Forgot the real content.
I forget.
God damn.
Yeah, because, it doesn't matter.
It'll come back to you.
Yeah, eventually. You know, this week has been. There's been a lot of interesting things going on this week. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah, it's been okay.
All right, fine.
It's been fine.
All right.
How about you prove it to me? How about that?
All right. Well, because, like, listen, there was a whole Star Wars event today.
Oh, that's nobody gives a shit.
And it was back to back with an entire Gundam Games Fest.
What was it? May the 24th be with you,
dude. It's the 26th.
What? I don't know what the fuck. I don't know when it was. Okay,
maybe it was today.
Okay. All right.
They announced a whole bunch of stuff on Disney Plus. The Mandalorian Season 3 is coming back.
All right, that's to be expected.
February.
Bone broth, February.
So it's a bit far away. Farther than I thought, because the first two seasons came out usually around Christmas, holidays. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit further away. Kind of disappointed. The other thing is, Indiana Jones is back.
I'm sorry, what?
Indiana Jones is returning to the big screen.
Is he going
to
get, did he like... Is he going to get in a fridge? What's going on?
I think he's coming back to erase your memory of the Crystal Skull.
Oh, no. So what's this new movie called? Is it like the Crystaller Skull? Like, what are they redoing the Crystal Skull?
Nothing. They didn't show anything of it.
Okay, all right.
They just showed a poster with Harrison Ford doing Harrison Ford things.
Oh, no.
Get excited.
Like not caring about the movies he's in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Duh.
I kind of think that's my favorite thing about old Harrison Ford now, is that he just doesn't care.
See, I don't know. I think he does care. But I think, like, I think it's like a double play.
Okay.
Like, he's acting, obviously.
Too cool for school?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, only kids in the 80s did that. It's like, yeah, that's where he's from.
Oh, okay. Maybe.
Right. I don't know. One of the big announcements is there was a trailer for Disney's new Star Wars series,
mm-hmm.
Andor. You probably had no idea what this is about.
I've always heard the name Andor. That's about it. Is there I'm going to assume there was some sort of uprising on Andor?
No, so this is actually about the character.
Oh.
Have you seen Rogue One?
Nope.
The main character. This is a series about him 5 years prior to that movie.
Is it Donnie Yen?
No. Oh, damn. It's the guy. It's the main guy.
Okay.
Andor. That's his name.
I forget everything about Rogue One.
You said you didn't see it.
Yeah, but I at least remembered stuff from the trailers. Like, I watched all the trailers.
Okay. Well, Diego, I forget his last name. Is it Diego Luna or something? Anyways, he's back for it.
Diego Brando. It's a JoJo crossover.
No, that's
not hell it. Hell yeah. Dude, Star Wars is JoJo? I'm back in.
Ew. Gross. Yeah, so that, I mean, it looks better than I expected, considering I was expecting shit. So...
All right.
There you go. Right. That's that. I mean, I'm sure people are excited or not. I don't know.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Was that everything at the Star Wars event? Is that it?
The Disney Star Wars thing. There's a couple more things, but these are the ones that I had picked out.
Okay. I got a question for you then.
Okay.
Do you think they're doing too much with Star Wars now?
Considering there's no direction for what's happening on the big screen, no.
No? Okay. Because I always felt that, like, Star Wars was so revered and loved by certain generations is because there was so... Part of it was like because there was so little of it.
There was a lot of it, though. What are you talking about?
It was like extended fiction that nobody gives a shit about.
And that's what this is.
Yeah.
That's what this is. What are you talking about? That's what this is. Think about all the video games, yeah. The comic books, the cartoons.
Maybe it's just...
I think you're just more aware of it now.
I think it's more... I'm more aware of it, but also everything is marketed like it's supposed to like super matter. Whereas before it was just like, yeah, if you're a hardcore, here's some comic books with some extended lore and that kind of stuff.
I don't know. When I was a kid, like the Star Wars shows were definitely a big fucking deal. Mm-hmm. Like even to this day, any Star Wars cartoon is a big deal.
It, to me as a kid, it was like... It was the three movies, and then my version of like Star Wars hype was the prequels.
Yeah,
right. I got to see pod racing. It's like super sick. Yeah,
and in between that those movies was the Clone Wars.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of that shit. So
there you go.
It was just like I don't think I actually like acknowledged the Clone Wars until I was older.
I think it's just like it depends how deep you are into the fandom. Yeah, right.
Probably.
I don't think there's too much to be honest. I don't think there's enough interesting stuff.
Okay. All right.
Like
that's a fair take.
The Obi-Wan, cool. That's a cool show that's coming out later this... Actually.
Yeah, we're talking about last week, right? Is that
like tomorrow?
I think so.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to watch that.
But this, like, Andor, like, I don't care. All right. I don't care about this.
Don't you want shoehorned political themes from modern day in your Star Wars Revolution show?
Kind of, but not really.
Okay, all right.
I don't know. Yeah. That was that from that little series. I saw that Sony had announced their upcoming TV schedules. I think Netflix has God of War,
mm-hmm.
which we don't know what that's about. Amazon Prime has Horizon.
Yeah.
And they're making a Gran Turismo television show.
I saw this story and I was like, how? How are they going to do it? What are they going to do to make a Gran Turismo television show?
Dude, it exists. It's called motorsport.tv.
I guess. Did that Uncharted movie ever come out?
I saw it.
You watched it?
Yeah.
Damn, I erased that from my memory. Hot damn.
It was in February.
Okay.
You need to get out, kid.
I guess.
You haven't even seen Spider-Man.
I have not. I have not seen Spider-Man. I have not seen, what's it called? The new Doctor Strange movie.
You need to get out.
What was the last movie I saw?
I don't know, but you need to get out.
When was James Bond?
October.
I remember seeing that.
That's over half a year.
I don't remember. 2020. I'll just look it up. You can...
It's probably Everything Everywhere.
Oh, yeah. That movie slaps. That's movie of the year. Hell yeah.
Okay. All right. Just checking.
It was that. That's true.
Okay. The Gundam Game Fest is on right now. They showed off. They showed off a couple games. The only thing I'm going to tell you, though, is the console network test for Gundam Evolution, the Gundam Overwatch thing, is happening... June 23rd to 27th, signups are open if you want to be part of it. I think it's open to PlayStation 5, 4, Xbox...
Series
and Xbox One?
Xbox One, really?
X.
Okay.
I think one of those. Yeah. Xbox Series S, X, and then Xbox One X.
God damn, then those naming conventions, dude.
Love it.
Terrible.
I know them.
They're almost as bad as CPU naming conventions.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's fun. I mean, I signed up for them.
Yeah, let's play it again.
Absolutely.
One more time.
I gotta feel it one more time.
Just when I wanted more, they pulled me back.
Like, they haven't put in a release date yet, though, so I'm hoping it's soon.
Okay.
I just hope it beats Overwatch to the party. We'll see. Okay, and then my other picks are basically summer movie hype.
Hell yeah. This was a good, like, trio of trailers.
Yeah, so first up, The Gray Man. This is by the Russo brothers, famous for doing the Captain America Winter Soldier.
Endgame.
Yeah, The Avengers. Has Chris Evans as the villain.
Nice.
And Ryan Gosling as the hero.
Finally.
And Ana de Armas as the babe.
It could have only been better if instead of Chris Evans, they got
who?
Ryan Reynolds. To go up against Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, that would have been good.
That would have been perfect.
That would have been the perfect movie. But it's nice seeing Chris Evans as, like,
not
just an asshole.
A good guy, yeah.
Yeah, and he's got that terrible mustache.
I've always said, like, he didn't need the mustache, but in my head, I've always thought, like, Chris Evans is, like, the stereotypical, like, school bully. Like, he's got that face. Like He
does?
To me, he does. I feel like... If he just kind of, like, instead of smiling all the time, if he put on a little bit of a frown, he's like, yo, what's up, nerd? Like, push you against the locker or something.
I guess. Yeah, maybe. Sure. I could
put
see
on
it.
A varsity jacket.
Yeah. I could see
he
it.
He could play
yeah.
a good villain, yeah. I think.
I think he was that in one of those, like, Not Another Teen movie.
Oh, probably. I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, I think he played that character. That might have been the movie where... Do you remember the trailer where he puts, like, whipped cream all over his dick?
No.
And then he has a banana in his ass?
I don't remember that. I'm going to go with Chris Evans' whipped cream dick.
Yeah, whipped cream dick or banana in the ass, something like that.
That can't be
real. I think he has black hair in the movie, actually. I can't quite remember.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's real.
Yeah, that's a real...
Yeah.
Yeah, what is that from?
Not Another Teen Movie.
Is that really Not Another Teen Movie?
This is like the early 2000s, I think. And this is when he was like starting.
Don't scroll. If you search that up, don't scroll down too much because just gay porn shows up.
Okay. but yeah, though, The Gray Man looks sick. Like, it looks like a hella good action movie. Ryan Gosling looks as dangerous as ever.
I definitely would. Yeah, this is just like a popcorn muncher.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. It's not going to be like thought provoking or anything. It's coming to Netflix, though. So. You should be able to watch this if you've got a subscription. But yeah, I think it looks cool.
Was there a release date on that? Or
I didn't notice. I could check, but...
That's cool.
I think like it's pretty soon if I had to guess. July 22nd.
Oh, yeah. All these things are like some variations of July.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next one is Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
Oh, my God. This movie looks good.
Tom Cruise... is back, and he is 100% Tom Cruise.
Do you think Tom Cruise will ever get older?
No.
Is there really something in that Scientology? Do I have to start donating?
Every time I see... you know this is a Mission Impossible movie because they always have one scene where he's just sprinting.
Yeah, full speed.
Just...
You get the side view. Yeah. You get the whole, him
the camera running. Is struggling to keep up with him running. Mm-hmm. God, and it always ends with, some ridiculous stunt that he's going to, he actually did.
Probably. I wouldn't doubt it. There's going to be some crazy... He flew jets for Top Gun, so...
Yeah, and the end of this trailer, I think he rides the motorcycle off a cliff with a parachute.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure he did that, too.
I'm sure he did it, yeah, of course.
He drove the train off the tracks in that one scene. he did it all.
Man, Tom Cruise can do... he really is the last big movie star.
I think he's... the last big movie star where a studio will he has enough sway that he can force a studio to allow him to do this.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody else, of course, A, would want to, and B, even if you did want to, if you're a big enough star, you're insured out the fucking ass, right? No longer are the days of Jackie Chan telling stories on late night where he's I broke my foot. It's oh, how's insurance happen? It's they don't insure me. I can't get insured for a movie. Are you crazy?
Yeah, man. I don't know. He is getting older, I think. I know I'll be sad the day when it's Tom Cruise retires. Mm-hmm. No more of this bullshit. But this is part one of, let's assume, two parts. So... Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning isn't coming out till next year. Mm-hmm. Plenty of time to get hype for it. And my last trailer was the official trailer for Thor Love and Thunder dropped. This movie looks pretty damn cool.
This is definitely a movie in the Marvel list that I will be like, hot damn, this looks pretty good. And then I won't see it.
It looks... it's definitely got that blend of that Guardians vibe, but it's... not entirely that.
Yeah, and I like that the movie or this trailer showed that there is much more than Thor piggybacking on the Guardians.
Yeah, it seems like the Guardians are only going to be there for the opening act.
Yeah, and Peter Quill's going to give him an inspirational quote.
Yeah,
and then he's going to be off on his way.
Yeah, see you, bud. And then Jane will come in and be like, "What's up? I'm actually Thor." I guess in that time they rebuilt Asgard somewhere.
I guess.
They rebuilt it because wherever they are, it looks pretty cool. What's her face? Natalie Portman? She's hella jacked.
But where's the other one? What's her face?
Who?
The other girl that was in that movie.
Oh,
that was not Natalie Portman. Oh,
Kat Dennings?
Yeah, where's Kat Dennings at?
You should watch WandaVision.
Is she?
She's a main character in WandaVision.
Uh-oh. Is she still hot?
It's her and... Yeah. Oh, yeah, God. What's the Asian guy's name?
Jackie Chan.
Randall Park.
Randall Park's in that?
Randall Park and Kat Dennings are the two other main characters.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, there you go.
Oh, man, Kat Dennings got engaged to Andrew W.K. God damn, I've been robbed.
Because you were going to do something?
I had a chance. I could have made it. I could have gone to Hollywood.
All right.
No, it wasn't going to happen.
Anyways.
My dreams are crushed.
Yeah, I'm hyped for this movie. I think it comes out... Is this?
I think it's like one of the first July movies.
Is
like,
it really?
Is it July 2nd or is it June?
No, you're right. July 8th. That's very... There you go. Wow, that's very soon considering Doctor Strange was May 4th. 2 month gap. Nice.
They're just pumping out stuff, trying to get people back on the train, I guess. I don't know.
I guess they have to.
Has there been any news on like how this series of Marvel movies has been doing against pre-Endgame stuff?
It's tough to make those direct comparisons only because we're still technically not out of the pandemic.
True, true.
But that Spider-Man movie...
Cleaned up?
Like, it did better than the first Avengers.
Oh, wow.
First Avengers Infinity War?
Yeah.
Did better than that. Not Endgame, but did better than Infinity War.
Okay, all right.
So, yeah, I'm not too sure about Doctor Strange. I know Black Widow and Shang-Chi, in terms of box office, probably weren't. Actually, you know what? I think Shang-Chi actually did pretty good. I know Black Widow didn't do that.
I didn't see that one either. God damn.
God damn. What the hell?
I heard that one was good, too.
You should watch that one. You would love that one.
Probably.
It's just Chinese gangsters.
Hell yeah.
That's all it is. Yeah. Anyways, those are my picks. Yeah. Summer's looking good for movies. I can't wait.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I can't wait to not watch.
Wow. Taking a disrespect.
Movies?
Yeah.
Because I'm a fan of the, you know, superior storytelling medium.
Radio drop?
Video games. Oh, all God. Right. God that damn. That might
be the worst storytelling medium, but okay. Please.
So speaking of the worst, Sony.
Okay.
Sony has announced their like upper PlayStation Plus tier, right?
Yeah.
They're gonna put like PS1 classics back up. I think it was announced that they're gonna have like trophies for old PS1 games. So if you want to get trophies in Siphon Filter, hell yeah, you can do that.
I thought those were optional set by the dev.
They are optional set by the dev, but some of them have them. So,
oh, okay.
So. I think probably all the first party Sony games will have them. I couldn't imagine not.
You think so?
And you know what? After reading this story, anything's up in the air. So that's coming out, and there's gonna be a handful of classics such as like Hot Shots Golf, which is now everybody's golf, Wild Arms, Jumping Flash, a whole bunch of stuff.
Ape Escape.
But they did this before, right? They released the PlayStation Mini. Right, the PlayStation 1 Mini. Remember that? Remember when it was like the SNES Mini and all that stuff, the classics?
Wow, I must have canceled that from my mind. Holy shit, because I can't remember.
So the PlayStation Mini was not great, but it did turn out to be like one of the best modding machines you could possibly have for retro
really?
Games. Yeah. People cracked that shit wide open, and there's so many homebrew stuff for...
Oh, like you could load your own
stuff. Yeah, load your own stuff. You can use the menu interface, and you can load it so it looks all official and stuff. Like, it looks really good.
Okay.
But the big problem with that was that a lot of the PlayStation games, and I think if mostly all of them, they ran the PAL versions of the games. And the problem with that is back in the day of CRT televisions, yeah. PAL... ran at 50 hertz on the television, right? So it ran at a little bit of a slower frame rate than pretty much everywhere else in the world.
Yep.
This kind of capped out their frame rate around 25 frames per second, while North America and almost everybody else was getting 30. And so it turns out that it's been leaked that the games that are coming to the PlayStation Classics, the PSONE thing that they're doing for PlayStation Plus, are all the PAL versions. So they still fucked it up on the second time around. And the thing is that the European region is not the only one getting PAL games. These PAL versions have shown up in Taiwan, which is a region that had NTSC. So people are thinking, or at least that Video Game Chronicles is thinking, that it's pretty possible that worldwide, everyone's getting the PAL version.
Nice.
Running old games at 25 frames a second. that fucking sucks. Nintendo got caught with this with their N64 stuff a while ago, but they eventually got the NTSC version, so it runs smoother. But it's every time I hear about PlayStation handling their old shit, they handle it with like Grace? A sledgehammer. And it's so crazy that second only to Nintendo, having memories of old PlayStation games is like in every adult gamer's head, and they fuck it up every time. So there's a good breakdown of it on the Video Game Chronicles. You should go read that. It's pretty cool. After that, I read a very good interview on Destructoid with Suda51. I was a little late to this. It's 2 weeks old by now. But there was an interview on a Japanese site called Den Faminiko Gamer, and it was translated for the first time ever and put on Destructoid. And this magazine, or it was a magazine or a website? It's a website. They talked to Suda51 about Grasshopper Manufacture becoming a part of NetEase, the Chinese company.
Okay.
Going through all of his like development problems, if like working for a big conglomerate has like stifled his creation in any way. And it's just a really good like developer interview into someone who doesn't really have that good of English. So this translated interview gives a bit of a deeper insight than you could normally get on North American websites. I really enjoyed it. And then after that, this week on the 22nd, that Suda51 said that he may reveal the next Grasshopper game this year because he is putting out No More Heroes 3 on the PS5 and PS4 and Xbox and all that. So a lot of Suda51 news. I love Grasshopper games. They make some really unique stuff. But definitely check out that Destructoid article. It is very good.
What are they working on right now?
Nobody knows because they finished No More Heroes 3. So they're probably working on the port a little bit. And the next thing they have is kind of a mystery. I think there is that Let It Die sequel.
Okay.
That's coming out eventually. I don't know when that's going to happen. But yeah, the article on Destructoid is called Kill the Past, Present, and Future with Suda51. Very good read. After that, woo! I've been vindicated in the news. All right. So Ed Fries, previous head for Xbox, he has come out in a podcast saying that he is scared of the potential impacts of Game Pass on the gaming market. Some very, I guess, obvious comparisons to the music industry have been made by him. And he mentions that the deal is like really good. He did it on a podcast called Xbox Expansion Pass, episode 132. So you can get like the whole interview there if you want, or you can just read this article also on Video Game Chronicle. He mentions things like when Spotify took off, it destroyed the music business, literally cut the annual revenue of the music business in half. People don't buy songs on the iPhone, for example, because why would you? They're all on your subscription service. And Apple said they're going to take away buying songs because no one buys them anymore. And so he thinks he's really scared of that mentality transferring over to games and that kind of stuff. The article, I'm not going to just say his like whole thought here. I would recommend go reading the article. But it also comes back the other way of Todd Ingram, an editor of Music Business Worldwide, comes back with his own counter argument of saying that Spotify didn't cut it in half. He's saying he's blaming piracy. And his whole thing is that the reason music had to go into the streaming sector to make it as convenient as possible is just because people were pirating music. And even now, people would rather pay for an easy legal means to get all their stuff than to pirate it and take that risk. That's true. Right?
I never bought music, but I pay for a subscription service.
It's true. Yeah. As a kid, well, I remember as a kid and I had no money. I didn't buy any music. Right.
Dude, I occasionally, with money.
I occasionally went to like HMV and like, I bought a couple CDs.
Like I could afford an iPod.
Yeah.
So obviously I could afford to buy music, but I never did. I just pirated that shit.
Hell yeah.
Right.
Hell yeah. And
I could buy a Zune.
Now that I'm older, I do buy more music. So like I'll buy it off of sites that use Bandcamp and stuff like that. So I know that like the artist is getting like a decent cut of stuff.
Yeah.
But he is right. Tim is right in that situation where in the time that music did move over, it was piracy really kind of eating away at everything. And I guess like having a sliver of a previous pie is better than having no pie at all.
Yeah. I agree with that. And to a certain extent, I would say the same thing with TV shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I pirate so much less. Little. Now, like, if I pirate, it's because that's my only option, mm-hmm. right? But like now, like God, it's ridiculous. But I don't like the fact that I have so many subscriptions,
mm-hmm.
and I do need to like cull some of them. But yeah, you make it easy enough, and I'll pay for it.
It is also important to mention too that only 4% of annual game revenues come from subscription services.
Yeah.
Whereas,
well, today.
Today, right? Yeah. Whereas 65% of global music revenues come from streaming services.
Yeah. Okay. Right?
And it is kind of like the slippery slope argument, but when the slope has slipped in other comparable mediums than or like products, then you kind of get worried, right?
You do, but it's one of those things where it's because we're imposing the expectations of what we know on something new,
mm-hmm.
right? We know that subscription services are probably not going to be as cheap as they are. Like, they can't maintain being this cheap.
Microsoft probably could.
They could, but I mean, like, look at Netflix, right? We always complain every time it goes
every
up.
Every time it goes up.
How many of us cancel it?
I can't. My parents use it. I can't cancel it.
Right? Like, at the end of the day... Yeah, I'm sure they'll eventually find that balance where like we can't raise it above this much before people cancel. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as for games though, I don't know. I believe that that's just the future. Like it's the last piece of digital media that still is like they're holding on to the whole buy own model, and I definitely believe that eventually it's going to go the same way. Like you just sub to the thing.
Yeah, probably. There was some stats too. I think it was Microsoft. Was it? How do I pronounce her name? Satya Nadella.
Oh, the CEO.
Yeah, she. Is it a she? I don't remember.
I don't know who you're talking about.
You know what? They. How about that?
Okay.
They mentioned that Xbox Game Pass subscribers, they play 40% more games and they spend 50% more than non-subscribers.
I believe.
I would ask how they're getting those numbers. If it's just like what people are spending on their store, or if it's like they somehow got like retail, like they're estimating retail numbers if they put in like a disc copy of a game or something. So I don't know how they're getting those, but it's true. Like
I'm sure like it's not as accurate as we want it to be, but
yeah,
but,
for sure.
But I'm sure the algorithms are accurate enough, right? Like this is related to work, but like I asked one of my marketing coworkers, I'm like, so when you say that this ad got X amount of impressions, how are we calculating that?
Yeah.
Right? And they showed me, like, all the shit that goes into it. I'm like, okay, then it's still just a guess, like a highly educated guess,
yep.
but it's a guess,
yeah.
right? So
even for, like, yeah. internal stuff, yeah. like email campaigns and stuff, it's like, you're still guessing,
yeah.
right? Like, I guess you could get the technology to spy on them hard enough to get exact information, but then you're into, yeah. like, privacy issues.
I mean, like, in terms of, like, the Game Pass holders spend more on games, I mean, I guess you could just look at the whole, like, if you just took them out of the, what are their accounts called? Their Xbox Live accounts?
Yeah.
And you just look at the ones who don't have Game Pass, and you just, like, I don't know, look at the games they play, and just assume that everyone yeah. of those games is a new game. And
because when you put in a disc, like, yeah. it shows up on your profile and stuff
right.
like that, and
yeah.
just assume that's, like, they made...
Yeah.
$60 purchase, maybe.
Right. Versus, like, look at this person has Game Pass. If we add up how much they're spending over a month versus all the DLC
yeah.
they're buying.
On Game Pass Plus. Yeah. Yeah. yeah true.
Yeah. So.
Like, which, I just thought about that. People who buy game DLC for games they don't technically own.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Not really.
Damn.
Think of all your free to play games that you buy, like, people buy DLC for, right? They don't ever own those games.
Damn.
And then, like, think of all the whales, right? Like, you play the game for, like, how long are you addicted for, maybe? Month, 2 months? You spend money, and then gone.
I guess in my head that, like, there's something about... Because I guess I'm still in that, like, old gamer mentality of just, yeah. like, if I rented a game from, like, a Blockbuster...
You're never paying for
and
DLC?
Then I bought a DLC for a game I rented, that's crazy. That's crazy talk.
I don't think so. I think it's fine.
All right.
I've done it.
Have you actually?
Yeah, if DLC is like $5, like for because when I get to a game late, like yeah. if you let me borrow one of your games, yeah. I've bought DLC for a game you've bought.
You're crazy.
Yeah, because I'm like, I just want to play the whole thing.
Okay.
Because when I'm done, I give it back to you. Like, yeah. I don't care.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then the way I see it is like, well, I paid $5 to experience this whole game.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I guess it depends how much you care about the game, right?
Yeah. Also that.
Right? Like,
I'm also on the more extreme
yeah,
end.
Yeah, you
that,
so. Obviously care. Most people don't. Right?
Damn.
It's like It's like how I buy anime Blu-rays, where people are just like, I don't
own Why would you buy the Blu-ray?
Just watch it on Crunchyroll.
And you're like, no, you got to get the JoJo special features.
I didn't say that. Don't put words in my mouth.
Oh, you are. You know, you don't have season one and two.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really interesting podcast. The whole episode is really cool. Xbox Expansion Pass, episode 132. It's a really interesting conversation to have, especially when you put it up against Music, who arguably has been decimated by...
I mean, if you want to compare it to something like, I guess, that more people can relate to, it's just movies, right?
Yeah.
Less people are going to the theaters because they're just watching shit on Netflix.
Pandemic, baby.
Look at you. You're not going to the movie theaters.
I don't even watch it on Netflix.
Fuck. And you pay for Netflix, so technically, you're part of that crowd.
Dude, you know how I've been getting my movies lately?
Oh, no.
I've been renting them from the library.
That's so fucking lame.
I've been renting Blu-rays from the library, dude.
All right. Fair enough.
So there you go. So that's the real piece of knowledge.
You're telling me the library is here to...
The library's here to save physical video games.
All right.
And the last one I have is just a little fun one. The Yakuza series.
I've heard of them.
Come into Rainbow Six Siege.
Okay.
So two operators, Echo and Hibana, they are getting Yakuza skins for Kazuma Kiryu for Echo and Karu Sayama for Hibana.
Hibana.
The only reason I bring this up is because listeners might remember I had brought up an article that came out from the Ryuga Gotoku team.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, listen, we love Tekken. Tekken's sick. Yep. But we can't put Kiryu in Tekken.
Why?
Because he would never, ever, in a million years, hit a woman.
Okay.
So canonically, they didn't want to put him in the game so that there's like visuals of him like doing heat actions on ladies.
I want to see him do a heat action on a woman.
But you know what? Guns. I guess this is like a little bit of a workaround because they're technically not the characters.
Hey, it's not. You're right. He's not abusing.
It's just the. It's also not Kiryu's model. It's not like they imported the model over top of Echo.
Oh, the operator's just wearing the clothes.
He's just wearing the clothes and he's styled over him. Yeah,
that's a good loophole.
It's kind of a loophole. Kind of feel shitty. Put Kiryu in Tekken. Let him smack Nina around. Let's go, dude.
Has Kiryu never actually used a gun in any of the games?
I don't know if he might have used like warning shots and stuff in the cutscenes.
Yeah, because I can't imagine.
But in the game, you can get a gun. Like when you're doing like random battles, you can get a gun. And there's like special guns. Like
I guess all the gang members are dudes.
Yeah, okay. All the Yakuza kids are all guys. They're all getting, he's just punching them 40 at a time. Okay. So
typical Japan.
Typical Japan. Finding those loopholes, baby. God damn. Harada's crying right now. He's just like, why won't he put him in Tekken? So yeah, that's my week. It's a lot of kind of interesting, just like video game deep lore shit. And then that stupid fucking Yakuza story. Goddamn.
That's a good story.
I hate it. It's the worst.
Shall we take it to an email?
We will.
All right. Peter writes in.
So wait, hold on. I realize that we haven't.
What?
We don't have like a thing for Peter's thing. We question to chew on. We've all
he's AAA alias Angel alias. That's who he is.
No. What if it's like Peter is pondering about toys or something? Like, yeah, Peter ponders.
How was pondering Petey?
Yeah, pondering Petey writes in. Oh, hell no. Oh no. That's it. Sup. Pondering Petey writes in, Peter. Dude.
Sorry. All right. Subject line, question for the show.
Nice.
Hello, gents. Here's a quick story.
Okay.
Spoilers. It's not quick. I'm looking at a wall of text.
Yeah, I'm looking at like five paragraphs, dude. You gotta need an editor.
So I go buy some random kid's toy for someone's kid's birthday because of a birthday party.
I love how it starts off brief. It really does. And then it just goes for the fences.
The birthday kid is ecstatic, and the kid's parents also show their gratitude. Someone you know at the party happens to mention about your obsession with quote-unquote plastic toys.
Goddamn.
And then you pretty much go into explaining mode and not trying to embarrass yourself too much.
Too late.
They kept using the toys term, but you and I know these are not just toys that younger kids play with. My question to you all is, Can you create another word that is better suited in our modern society for what we collect? We buy these ridiculous $200 to $300 hot toys, or Soul of Chogokin, or SH Figuarts, or Figma figures that no parent in their right mind would buy for their kids. Help me create a new word other than calling these as toys. That would be much appreciated.
Yo, the
disclaimer.
The drama.
Please, you cannot use words such as collectibles or adult toys. This has already a weird connotation. In brackets,
see the Deborah episode.
See the Deborah episode, and it's getting too, and it's too generalizing. These are not toys. These are blank.
Something. Goddamn.
In 2022.
So brief, dude.
I heard of so many new words that I've been created, such as lit, chillax.
What the fuck is chillax?
Metaverse, staycation,
PPE.
PPE!
I don't think that's new.
Etc.
Yeah, I don't think that was
good. We need a new word for what is that we are collecting. It is the mainstream now. Even toy companies know their target audience are now adults as well. Cheers.
That's so dramatic. Why'd you turn into a Marvel movie? What happened there?
I was just feeling it. I was really feeling it.
Though he was smashing those keys when he was writing that. She was furious. God damn.
All right. So I pre-read this question.
Yeah.
I had some thoughts.
Okay.
And I have the perfect word.
All right. hit him. I think I know exactly what it's going to be.
Peter, the perfect word you're looking for are toys.
I knew it. Dude, that tweet is pinned for a reason. All right. I know. I'm in on the Type V3 lore, dude.
Yeah, at the end of the day, man, they are what they are, and you got to lean into it, and you got to just own that shit.
So, yeah, the thing with that is, like, even in games, like, telling my new coworkers that I collect video games,
yeah,
right? If you get any sort of, like, pushback, or they're like, oh, like, you still play games? Oh, my God. Like, you kind of just got
to... Yeah, you got to lean into it. Yeah. But the hesitation, or, like, the reason people get like that is just because they're... I don't know. They are uneducated, right? You just don't know. Yeah. People are...
They're ignorant.
I didn't want to be mean, but yeah, like, it's just people are hesitant to things they don't understand, right? If you take the time and explain why it is that you value these things and what it is, what it means to you and, like, whatever, that's fine. Don't go off and be a crazy person. We all have our hobbies, yeah. Right? Like... You could just take sports as an example, right? Some people get really into sports. I don't understand it. Well, okay, I understand some aspects of it, but, like, I don't quite understand why people care about basketball. Yeah,
I personally don't understand cheering for a conglomerate. Like, when people are like, I'm such a big fan of the Leafs. I'm like, nobody on the Leafs. Like, you're just a fan of the logo.
Just the general. Like, I like how it says Leafs and right? Toronto.
Yeah, like, that doesn't make any sense to me either, right? But those people, the thing is, I guess it helps that they're, like, socially accepted in liking that stuff. But, like, they also just lean into it.
Yeah, you gotta lean into it, right? Like, you just, like, the more comfortable you are with accepting that, like, what you're collecting is a toy, right? Like, at the end of the day, like, they are toys. Like, their original purpose was to, like, bring joy to kids, whatnot, and adults alike. And I think as long as you can convey that, I think that's all that matters. Like, I don't think you have to, like, turn it into something that it's not. Obviously, there are different categories for toys or whatnot, and that goes for anything else, right? But at the end of the day, we're all talking about the same shit. Mm-hmm.
And if anything, like, that could be an out too in a conversation. Like, if you're like, oh, I heard you collect toys, right? They might have a certain connotation in their head. And you'd be like, oh, yeah, like, I like collecting from this thing because they make, like, hyper-realistic versions or whatever. And you don't have to just be like, they're not toys. They're pieces of art. They are made by modern-day Michelangelos. These are the Davids of the future. Like, you don't have to go that hard.
Oh, I'm going to use that next time someone asks me.
These are the...
See how they react.
Yeah, you don't...
These are the toys of today.
Yeah, you don't have to lean... You don't have to, like, be that defensive about it, right? You can just, like, explain it and then leave it. And like I always psychoanalyze people who like do this shit.
Yeah.
Right. Because like I was also bullied in high school, and it's one of those things where it's just like the great thing about being an adult is that you don't have to interact with those people anymore. You're not trapped in a building with them.
Yeah. Some people will just choose never to like. They will choose not to understand, and that's fine.
If
they don't want to, yeah, that's fine. If they don't want to, they don't want to. Like, whatever.
For sure. And, like, maybe it's, like, a coworker on your team or whatever. But
maybe it's your wife.
Maybe it's your wife. That's divorce. But it's one of those things where, like, yeah, I don't know if you need a new word.
No, I think you need to just, like, really lean into it, like, and own it, like, for what it is.
I'm not, like, sitting here, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know what? I play interactive digital experiences.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like, no, they're video games.
Like, I'll tell you, like, okay, like I guess for me personally, when Deborah first, when I first brought her over and she saw my collection, like, in the glass things and everything.
It was crazy. You told me. She was like, wow, you must have a tiny dick.
Like, and then I whipped it out. She's like, whoa, totally not.
Whoa, I was right. Where'd it go?
That's absolutely what happened. But no, she was like, these are pretty cool. But then she didn't understand why.
Yeah.
She's like, so who, like, are they all the same? Like, what is this, the whole idea? And like, yeah, obviously it took me a long time to describe every aspect, but she wanted to understand. She wanted to understand and learn. And like, as long as people are there willing to listen to you, it's okay. You can call them toys. Yeah. Like, but just don't make them out to be something that they're not, because like they're not gonna change the world, right? They're not gonna make you seem any better or worse.
It's just what it is, right?
Yeah.
I've also had that on the opposite end. Like, I've brought a girl over and they saw my game collection.
And they're like, fuck this loser. And they're like,
holy shit. No, like, her first words were like, you need to sell all of these. and let me tell you, that was the worst sex I've ever had in my life. Damn. It was terrible.
But I got to say, like, don't think that this specifically brown toys exists just the toys. It happens with anything, right? Like, I also... I'm hugely into watches, and I go and a lot of people at work ask me like, how much is that watch? And I'm like,
it's like a bajillion dollars.
It's like, it's enough money. Don't worry about it.
Stop questioning me.
And they're like, but why? It just tells the time. And I'm like, you're right. It does just tell the time.
Yeah. But these are modern day craftsmanships. These are the blacksmiths of today. This chronometer works backwards for some reason.
But then some of them are like, I won't get it. I'm like, it's okay if you don't get it. That's cool. I don't understand why you want to spend the same amount of money on a handbag.
Exactly.
Right? But we all have our things.
Dude.
Yeah.
Just go to McDonald's. They give you a paper bag, dude. Just use that. Same thing. God.
No, that's same, not the same,
same thing, dude.
That's not the same thing.
You just keep the Big Mac bag.
You at least got to go to like a Walmart. Pay 50 cents for
the plastic.
For the reusable.
Oh, reusable?
Yeah. Okay. Jeez, no one wants a disposable. Imagine I had disposable watches. That'd be bullshit.
But we're learning that plastic bags aren't really disposable. It's just reuse them.
God, that's awful.
Right?
Anyways, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, I just think you just need to be more confident in what you like. You don't have to rebrand it so that adults like you. It's just, it is what you like. And then if they don't want to deal with that, you don't have to deal with those people, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You might have an awkward dinner party with your wife.
Yeah.
But after that, it's game over, dude.
And just know that this kind of thing exists in all hobbies, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You see someone with a cool car? Some people don't give zero fucks about cars. They're like, why? Why are you wasting your money? That's for children.
Yeah. It's like, why do you need, like, was it when the Hellcat came out?
Yeah.
It's like, why do you need 700 horses? You're still going to go the speed limit. Like, it's not the point.
Yeah. So, like, it all exists in every facet. Just lean into it. Just don't spend time with people who don't want to understand.
Exactly.
Anyways.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Live your life, dude. Live your best life.
Absolutely. Speaking of best lives, what you've been doing this week?
I'm still catching up on things I did while I was sick.
Oh, fuck.
I
thought you said I was still catching up on COVID. I'm like, okay.
Oh, that too. Yeah. I got the vid. You got the new strain, baby. Need those monkey pox? Oh, I got you, dude.
Bring that up. Got that when I was a kid. I'm immune.
Nice. That's chicken pox, you fucking loser. God damn.
I thought I almost got him.
You, oh my God. So some other stuff I finished during that week of COVID. I was a fucking efficient while I was sick. Hot damn. I finished two manhwas.
Manhwa? Right?
The Korean manga. You know, okay. They ripped them off.
Yeah.
I finished Solo Leveling.
Cholo Leveling.
So I was talking about Solo Leveling before. It is a comic book about a guy who is born into a world with superpowers, but his power is that he has no powers and he sucks. And then he figures out a puzzle and becomes a player and then can mm-hmm. level up his superpowers, where everybody else in the world is what they're born with is what they get. And eventually he becomes the strongest hero of them all. And there's like all kinds of crazy shit going on.
Yes.
I think that this series was absolutely fantastic until
the ending,
the final arc.
Okay.
They really face planted the ending.
Can't be that bad.
Okay. The guy they fight as the final boss, or the quote unquote final boss, isn't even the final boss. So they go through this whole rigmarole of like, this dragon king is the ultimate evil, yeah, and he's threatening the earth, and I'm the only one who could stop him because I can level up my powers, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They do all this stuff, you know, good guy wins, whatever. In the final chapter, there's like a fucking Rocky montage of all the things he's doing after he wins, he defeats the Dragon King. And one of them is, oh, look, it turns out this other king was behind it all along, and I beat him. In one panel, they explain that there was supposed to be a whole arc beyond this, and he just didn't write it.
Nice.
It's insane. I've never seen something end like
now
this.
That's a baller move.
It's so crazy. That's a
gangster level
it's,
move.
It's like, because he did some wild ass shit in that final fight. I think he just ran out of ideas. I don't think he knew what to do anymore. I don't know how you go beyond that, right? And there's so many storylines that he has set up in previous arcs and just drops, right? Good. Like, oh, my relationship with my father, what's that all about? Who knows? Not even mentioned in the ending. Who gives a shit?
Nice.
It's insane. I've never seen someone flop an ending that hard. Maybe Game of Thrones was that bad. Maybe this is what you guys are feeling when Game of Thrones ended. But holy moly, just goddamn.
That sounds good.
Kind of sucks.
That sounds awesome, actually.
It's
a bold choice.
I was extremely, extremely disappointed.
Okay.
But after that, I decided to read another one called The Boxer. All right. The show is exactly what you think. It's about boxing.
So it is not. Wait, what's The Boxer? Wait, I'm thinking about the other famous boxing anime manga.
Oh, Hajime no Ippo?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. This is the Korean manga.
Oh, this is a manhwa. Okay.
This is manhwa.
Sorry, yeah.
So The Boxer takes place in modern day, and there's this legendary trainer named K, and he has produced like 4 or 5 world champions in boxers in multiple weight divisions, right? He's just, he's a legend, but he's looking for his last, I guess, last like pupil to put under his tutelage.
His last prodigy.
Exactly. He's trying to make a boxer that can conquer like every weight division.
Okay.
Or most of them. And he finds this kid named Yu. And how he finds him is that Kay is kind of walking around. He's looking at like other prodigies, guys who had like some potential. And he's walking out of this one boxing area, and he looks down an alley, and he sees these two kids getting beat up.
Mm-hmm.
And the one kid he notices, whose name is Yu, he notices that the kid, as he's being punched, is looking at the punches coming at him. And Kay realizes that he can choose. He has the skill to choose to dodge those punches. But he chooses not to.
He has the skill to choose, as in he's so good.
He's so good. Oh. His reflexes are so sick that he's looking at himself being punched. He has the ability to react to it, and he just chooses not to.
Oh.
And it turns out is that Yu has come from an absolutely like dog shit background. He's constantly bullied. His family life was a nightmare and stuff. And so he's pretty much given up on life. And so he decides to go under Kay's wing, basically, after he asks a school bully if punching people is fun. And the school bully says, hell yeah, it's fucking sick.
I'm like, how else could you answer that?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And then he's like, hell yeah. I'm like, I'm superior to all these people and blah, blah, blah. And so in search of feeling, he kicks the shit out of this bully. And he's just like, I guess I'll go to that guy's boxing gym. And then the whole manga from there is his trek through 9 weight classes and becoming champion. But also as the story goes on, it becomes a... It turns out that the main character is being puppeted by the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have any really, I guess, motivation to do anything other than what his trainer tells him.
Mm.
And as you go further on and further on in the story, it becomes almost like a story of salvation, I guess, or like rescue, where all of the previous champions and all of these previous legendary fighters realize that Kay is turning this kid into some sort of monster, right? And he's going to destroy his life by training him the way he's training him and teaching him what he's teaching him. And so almost like not as like a, as a combined effort, just like individual efforts to the same goal, it becomes like them trying to save you from K and that kind of stuff. But he's also like, he's just One Punch Man. Like he cannot be touched. He's just so good and he'll never lose. But it's more about like, it's like when you watch One Punch Man and you're like, Saitama won't lose, right?
Nope.
He's just going to win and you got to figure out how he's going to win. But it's the story becomes more about the side characters and their struggles.
You lost me.
I know. And so that's what this becomes.
Mm.
And the whole like darkness, I guess, to around the story kind of lost me past the halfway point where it didn't become... Oh, is you going to lose? It's going to be, okay, you's going to win. How badly is going to beat these other guys? And also, how are they going to end this, right? Because they set up a lot of like really interesting concepts, like is it okay to be a villain?
Hell yeah.
Is the world kind of like too soft now, right? Like people go to war and they mm-hmm. kill people and come back to just like consumerism and whatever. And they throw up a lot of like really interesting, I guess... What's the word I'm looking, not like metaphorical. I don't know what the fuck word I'm looking for. Just like social questions, I guess. It's not the word I was looking for, but that works. They throw up like a lot of really interesting social questions, like through the lens of this kid who's been like abused his whole life and stuff like that. But he like kind of loses the plot in the same way Solo Leveling lost the plot, where he put up too much and then he didn't really know how to end it. And then the ending also... falls flat on its face.
Mm.
This does have somewhat of a redemption because there is a side story post this where they take one of the characters from the first arc who's being beaten up and is not chosen. And you see his redemption arc into becoming a pro boxer and stuff like that because his dad was a boxer. And that's actually really interesting because the character you're following has emotions and like you can relate. In some way, he's not just like a vessel of negativity. And it was a really interesting concept. I think it just fell a little flat on the ending again.
Yeah.
And so unfortunately that's 2 for 2 where I've read a manhwa and the ending is not good.
Boomer.
Yeah, exactly. So if like anybody has some recommendations they want to write in for manhwas, like to kind of like help me redeem this, because so far they've been very interesting at the start. And then just peter off at the end, and I'm not having a great time.
Damn.
So it kind of sucks. I still think probably they're both fun to read. Like, I don't know if it, I would say don't read these, but definitely understand what you're getting into, and the payoff that you probably want when you start reading it is not going to be given.
Mm.
So the journey is more fun than the destination, for sure.
Isn't that all anime?
Dude, when Luffy finds the One Piece,
it's gonna be the biggest fucking disappointment.
They're gonna, all of anime is gonna lose their mind, right?
Yeah, of how shit it's gonna be.
The One Piece is to unite all the anime worlds. He's gonna fight Goku. Hell yeah!
No, I don't want that. I don't want that.
And then the other things I did were I completed my journey through the No More Heroes franchise. So I beat 1 and 2. I talked about that, and in that week I beat Travis Strikes Back. And I beat No More Heroes 3.
That's 2 and 3.
So I beat 1 and 2, and then I beat the side game, and then I beat 3.
Oh, Travis Strikes Back's a side game? Is that the mini game, like the WarioWare one?
It is. How it's set up in the story is that there's a guy he's talking. He's like, I'm going to kill Travis Touchdown because he killed my daughter, who was bad girl from the first game.
Boo-hoo,
my daughter. And so he goes to find Travis because Travis, after No More Heroes 2, kind of just went into the woods to be alone in the wilderness and escape that assassin lifestyle. And they both get sucked in to a not released illegal government top secret video game system. So I think it was called like the Death Machine or something fucking stupid like that. And
of course it was.
Every level is its own like NES 8-bit style game. And it has their own little like motif to it.
Cool.
But the whole game overall is a beat 'em up. It's like a top-down isometric beat 'em up that you can play two players.
All right.
So you have light attack, which is just like a continuous swing. You have some heavy attacks that are slow but do big damage. You got a little dodge, and you got like skills you can swap in and out. To be honest, the gameplay in this game is probably the most boring No More Heroes has ever been.
Okay.
But this game is so unique in that it almost feels like a diary.
A diary?
Yeah, this game is like Suda51's personal self-reflection about his career and about video games as a medium and what it means to create stories for video games. Like, the game starts out, the opening cutscene is the main character from Killer 7. And there's a lot of like his characters and from his other games spread out throughout this game. He references Fire Pro Wrestling, which he has been, I think, the lead developer on for a couple years now. He talks about how much fucking Mappy slaps because some girl's wearing a Mappy shirt and stuff like that. And this, like, playing this game was probably the least fun part of the game, unfortunately. But the most interesting part was the fact that you kind of, more so than his other games, this really felt like Travis was more of an author insert. And it was him talking through Travis, talking about video games as culture. And his previous work on everything. There's a whole level dedicated to how fucking sick Shadows of the Damned is and how he wants to make a Shadows of the Damned sequel.
Shadows of the Damned, what was that one?
That was the one with the Mexican lead character and the talking gun.
Oh, yeah.
And he had the big boner.
Oh, yeah. That was the one before the cheerleader?
Yeah, before Lollipop Chainsaw.
Yeah, okay.
That game didn't show up. Or at least I didn't see any reference to it because that game fucking sucks.
Wow. Okay.
Yo, but Zappamondo from Killer 7 showed up. He's chilling.
All right.
Right, and it almost feels like it's a greatest hits look back at his whole career. And it's the closest thing to an autobiography I've seen in a video game ever. It's really cool, but I don't think I could recommend this to anybody other than like the hardest of the hardcore gamers out there. Like people who love Suda51's work and stuff like that. Because again, playing the game, not great. Very simple. But the reason I played this is because when I went to go play No More Heroes 3, it turns out that this game is lore mandatory.
Oh, really?
Certain characters come back. If you, like, you don't really need it, but there are certain characters who come back, and if they show up, you have no fucking idea who these are. And then certain characters die, and if you don't know who that character is because they were only in Travis Strikes Back, you're like, why is that impactful? I don't get it. There's a lot of like story beats that come in to where it is mandatory, and I've realized it. Suda51 has made his own gaming universe, okay? He has made the Suda51 gaming universe.
And
every one of his series crosses over with another, and it's kind of sick. I kind of love it. No More Heroes 3, I guess, on the gameplay end, is very fun. It plays a lot like No More Heroes. You have less options, combat options, than in 2 when you could get all the different types of beam katanas. So in this one, you only have one, but you can like put different like chips into you to like get different passive bonuses. And then you have like a set of skills that were taken from Travis Strikes Back.
Okay.
That kind of come through in this game. And then they also bring back the open world. So all throughout Travis Strikes Back, he keeps talking about how, like, oh, I wish this, like, one developer could make, like, an open world RPG and blah, 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 and all this stuff, right? Travis is saying that. No More Heroes 3 is an open world RPG where you get a bunch of different skills and fight bosses. And he was, like, he was shattering. He's, like, telling you about the game he wants to make before it was out.
All right.
It's so surreal playing these two games. I guess, like, my final thoughts on No More Heroes 3 is that I really enjoyed it. It's probably one of my favorite to date, and it's probably one of my favorite Suda 51 games to date, but it suffers so fucking bad from being on the Switch.
I was going to ask, yeah, because I remember, yeah, they did announce a port, right?
Yes.
To PlayStation?
Yeah, PlayStation, PS4, 5, and Xbox.
It's playing on the Switch.
It's neat. I needed the experience, baby. It's needed. Not worth they it. Need the power upgrade because this runs on Unreal,
yeah.
And you get the Unreal pop in real fucking bad.
Damn.
There's an area in the game called Call of Battle.
Wow.
I bet you could figure out what that's a reference to.
Not a clue.
That area runs at like a solid, absolutely locked 15 frames.
Well, that's kind of disappointing.
It's really bad.
Wow, that bad, huh?
This game needs a more powerful system for it to run. So with that, I would recommend people wait if they were interested in playing it and just wait until the PS4 versions come out. Missing the waggle is not reason enough to play it on the Switch. Mm. It's kind of brutal.
These games don't exist on PC, right?
I don't believe so.
I don't think they do.
Yeah. I don't think Travis Strikes. Maybe No More Heroes 1 and 2 does.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. So Travis Strikes Back. I think Travis Strikes Back is only the Switch.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it came out on Windows. Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It came out on PS4. Xseed Games published it. I think it's digital only on those ones. Yeah, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Windows.
Oh, okay.
I guess it came out on Steam, I guess.
Cool.
Yeah, so those came out. In No More Heroes 3, you'd like take on space aliens. And then I'm not going to say anything because it's so fucking nonsensical that even if I talked about it, it wouldn't make any sense. But it's such a wild ride from beginning to end. And it's a classic, like, Suda 51. Oh, yeah, there it is. 1, 2, and Travis Strikes Back.
Just not three.
Oh, okay. So maybe 3 will come out when the ports come out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really like 3. 3 is super big time recommend. Just wait for it to be on something more powerful than the Switch, because there are times where you're on your bike and you're boosting through an area and, like, it no assets load, and then you break because you're going so fast, right? The console can't keep up.
Yeah.
And then when you break, everything pops in at once and you're like, okay, all right.
You don't like that?
It's funny. It's a little meta. I kind of like it. Like, there's some talk about like video game development on the Unreal system as, like, in jokes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The you know who the main villain's last name is in this game?
Blazinski?
Riccatello.
Oh, really?
The developer of the Unreal Engine.
Wow.
Yeah, and I guess the one thing I also wanted to mention about these stories, which I just found out relatively recently, Suda 51 really likes to be literal with his writing, and I've never really noticed it. And there's a couple times in No More Heroes 2 where villains come after you and you're like, oh, you killed my brother. Like, the first boss, Helter Skelter, he's like, you killed my brother.
My brother.
And I'm here for my revenge. And he's like, I don't even remember your brother. Like, I don't know who you are, right? And there's no boss like Helter Skelter in the previous game either. It turns out that Helter Skelter's brother was a concept character that was killed in the teaser announcement trailer for the first game.
Oh, wow.
That is why the player doesn't remember. That is why Travis doesn't remember, because it's so obscure. In No More Heroes 2, the final boss is the head of a pizza corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you killed my three brothers. And you don't even, how could you, right? The three pizza CEOs are three side missions in No More Heroes 1 that you use to get money to get to the assassination missions where you kill pizza butt CEOs.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess you wouldn't really know this unless...
unless you dive deep into the Suda universe, dude.
Yeah, and I guess you play them all back to back to back.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then in No More Heroes 3, like, the reason Riccatello is a main villain in mm-hmm. that game is because in Travis Strikes Back, in a minor cutscene, he owns one of the games for the cursed console that you need to like fulfill the things in the story.
Yeah.
And to get it back in a visual novel, you punch him. And that's the reason he's the villain. He wants to kill you because, like, not even my dad hit me and all this stuff.
Not even my dad hit me? Oh, my God.
And he hides, like, all of this little stuff. And, like, playing these games back to back to back has, like, given me a new appreciation for how fucking insane Suda51 is and how insane anybody is to allow him to make these games in the way he does.
Yeah, it sounds crazy.
I kind of love it. And I fall back on him being like one of the only like auteur game designers in video games. Huh. It's awesome. It has renewed my love for that man.
Cool, cool.
And yeah, those are the stuff. That's just, I'll stop there. There's some other stuff that I did, but I'll continue that next week.
Cool.
Yeah. Recommend No More Heroes 3. Play it on a stronger console. Don't really recommend Travis Strikes Back unless you're absolutely hardcore into Suda 51 shit.
Yeah.
And like the gaming industry as a whole. All right. So
cool.
Yeah.
Wicked. Let's see. I finished Sabiki Bishko.
This is the mushroom one.
Mushroom.
This one looks sick.
Crabs.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I finished this. It was all right.
It was okay.
By the end of it, it was all right. Okay. Like, it definitely apes the Trigger vibe in terms of like that style.
Wait, this
show.
Isn't Trigger?
No.
Oh, wow.
No. So it apes that vibe, but it tries to condense it down into a 12-episode series. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that's long enough for like the story to really get fleshed out or pan out. Like, it's actually such a simple story.
Dude, they did it in Space Patrol Luluco. They had 3 seasons.
That's different. That's a masterpiece. But this is not quite as, yeah, it's not quite as, oh, man, like it comes in hot. Mm-hmm. Like this, when you watch the first 3 episodes, you're like, this is going to be wild.
Yeah.
And it is, for the most part, pretty wild, but it never goes, how can I put it in anime terms? It never goes, it goes plus.
But never ultra. God damn.
That's what happens.
You gotta
here.
Do them like that, kid.
Yeah, that's basically what happens.
Okay.
I liked it. Like, it's cool. And at the end, it definitely apes Gurren Lagann in one way. In
going even of, further beyond.
I mean, like, the ending's like that, but also, like, yeah, I'm not gonna spoil. Like, when you watch, if you watch it, or, yeah, you'll be like, oh, this is clearly episode here, and this is what this person's supposed to be, except way more literal.
Yeah
So okay. It's but it was a fun watch.
So what really kind of took it out of like a top contender for you? Was it the writing? Was it too much leaning on past things?
No, like I didn't mind that it leaned on like anything at all. It never got to that level like of excitement and hype. Right, like in the Trigger shows, there'd always be like an episode where like the other shoe drops and
yeah,
you're
something
like, oh,
pops the fuck off.
It's like, yeah, time to save anime. Like, okay. This never gets that. Hmm. It never gets to that point. And it ends up becoming a bit more by the book.
Okay.
In terms of like the story that they're trying to tell and the lesson, like the little mini episodic lessons that they try and show. And like the idea of like, this is a friendship and we're a team. Like it doesn't really go and do anything that I would say is, not necessarily, not that it's not new, it's just, its execution just is, I don't know, I think the quality of anime nowadays is so high that this struggles to stand out, that's all.
Okay.
So that's all it was. I finished It Takes Two. That's a long game.
I thought you finished that a while ago.
No, that's a long game. That's okay. A very long game. Like, if you find someone to play with this, you gotta let them know, like, this is a commitment. Like, this really is a...
Well, the whole theme of the game,
You gotta commit.
Yeah.
Like, you have to commit 100%. Finished it. There's some fucking disturbing parts in that game.
Okay.
Like, there's some parts with an elephant.
15 hours.
Like, there's parts with an elephant that are just wrong.
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 Okay.
Okay.
It's not like an elephant in the room joke type of thing?
No, it's what you do to the elephant in the room.
Okay. Oh, no.
Yeah, it's kind of bad. But, you know, that game is amazing in that I think it was long. It must have taken us longer than 15 hours.
Yeah. How long to beat is saying 13 and a half hours on average.
Yeah. Like, because there were some parts we got just stuck.
Bro, if you were playing with a gamer, speedrun that shit.
Like, some of the boss battles require so much just reading the boss patterns. Like, it feels like a, Oh God, I hate to
feels
say
like
this.
A video game.
Feels like a real video game.
Nice.
Where it's like you gotta actually pay attention, and I'm like, ah, crap.
Okay.
But no, it was good. Like it never does the same thing twice. It always changes the gameplay loop and ideas that they're doing. Like I don't know if I described it, but like every level, you and your partner have a different set of superpowers you can use.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so by the end, you've done like a couple different things. Maybe it's because I'm playing the PS5 version, but there in one of the final levels, they give you Rainbow Road from Mario Kart.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they make all the they make all the Nintendo references without actually being like a Nintendo reference. So like it was really cool by then, because like the last level is a music stage and they mix Rainbow Road with what was the game before Harmonix did Guitar Hero?
Oh, Frequency and Amplitude.
Yeah, that. Yeah. Like they mixed that. So it's Rainbow Road with the.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it was neat. Like it's just some of the ideas they pulled together for it. So yeah, It Takes Two is wicked. Like if you have someone who's mildly interested in playing a video game with you, definitely check it out. And then the last thing I did was I've been so hyped to watch this week. This week is Prehistoric Planet Week on Apple TV Plus.
Oh yes, you were talking about this. Dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs with by the BBC with David Attenborough. And it is structured exactly like you would expect it to be if you watch Planet Earth or any of its sequels, Life. Like it's dinosaurs, but they focus it down into different biospheres or biodomes, right? So like the first one I think starts off coastline, so all the prehistoric biology that happens at the coasts of, or just coasts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Second one's deserts. Third one is any freshwater resource. So like a lake, river, pond, any wildlife around there. Fifth one is ice world. So anything cold. And then the last one is forests, which it never crossed my mind. But every time I think about a dinosaur, I always think about it in a forest.
Yeah.
Right. Tropical. Like, I never had the idea that they existed anywhere else. And maybe that's Jurassic Park's fault because it was a park. But it was cool seeing all the different dinosaurs in different environments and, you know, I guess how they or the things that they did to survive or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
CG is pretty cool in this. It looks pretty good. They must be using Unreal Engine 5. it looks nice. But it's unfortunately at that place where it's so good that it might be
too good
compared to real, because in the real world nothing is ever that perfect.
Yeah.
And everything they show is like it doesn't look like the dinosaurs are perfect, but they look too perfectly rendered, right? And I get it. Like, you're not going to put, like, flecks of dirt inside, like, a couple scales and not.
You're not going to have one dinosaur in the background have a cut where another one doesn't.
Yeah, right? And, like, it's not, like, I understand that you can't, like, just from a cost perspective and resource, like, you can't do that. And because the way they film is they mix, like, real-world locations, and then they obviously add the CG into it, and sometimes use real animals.
Yeah.
So when they need to use, like, say, like a small little lizard, they'll put a real lizard in, and it looks, and you're like, oh, that's a real lizard. But then you see, like, a CG thing, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's clearly the fake one. Like,
okay.
You can tell. And I just don't think they've mastered the art of, and it happens in video games, too. Like, a lot of CG models don't carry weight with them, like, when they move, and you can always tell. This happens in video games all the time. If you look at animations hard enough, like some things just look like, I don't want to say it's ragdoll physics, but it definitely feels like these feel like hollow creatures that are, they don't abide by the laws of physics.
Yeah.
And it's not a big deal, but it's just off enough that it's noticeable.
Okay.
Right. And maybe it's because I'm watching it on like
ultra 4K.
Yeah. Whatever. So these things kind of stand out more, because I'm almost positive if I watch this on somewhere lower res, even hell, if I watch this on a CRT, I probably couldn't tell the difference. I bet it look.
Bring back CRTs, baby.
I bet it'll look amazing.
50 hertz.
Yeah, but I guess this is one of those things where, like, when you watch it, it's hard to really evaluate what you're watching, because again, everything here that they're showing you is a highly educated guess on animal behavior and whatnot.
How many feathers are we looking at?
So, like, that's the thing. Like, they're like, this is the Velociraptor. And you just see, like...
A bird?
It's a bird. Dude, it's a bird.
Oh, man. That right? sucks.
Yeah, like, it can't fly, but it's a fucking bird.
Man, I wish I still had all my dinosaur toys from when I was a kid, and when they were all lizards, how they're supposed to be. Like, God made them. Oh.
Yeah, so it's just, it's weird. And I guess all the educated guesses they are making about behavior, like, at some point, it just, I guess it makes sense. Mm-hmm. But all their behaviors are just pretty much one-to-one with things that exist today. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, why do dinosaurs exist? What do? They eat and they fuck. Nice. Right? And you're like, yeah, I guess that's true. Like, what else would they be doing?
You mean they're not, like, accounting? They're not doing taxes?
Yeah, I know. But it's like, it's all down. It's all boils down to the same shit, right? Like, yeah. The male does eating. This to impress, yeah. like, his, and, like, and it's like, yeah, I'm not going to deny any of that. Like, that probably makes the most sense. But it's just, it's so, I guess now that I'm older and because I've watched so many of these animal documentaries, I think I was expecting to be a bit wowed by it more, but it's like, I guess I can't be too surprised. Like, at the end of the day, they're just fucking animals, man.
I imagine you sitting yeah. in front of your TV yeah. being like, God damn, develop a frontal lobe already. Let's go.
Yeah, like.
God
and
damn. Like,
and I know this, too. It's like, the dinosaurs are the dumbest animals in the world. Like, of yeah. course, they're just eating and fucking. Just
brute strength. Yeah. That's the show.
Yeah. But nevertheless, it's fun to watch. The one major complaint I have is you don't get a sense of scale anymore. Because there's nothing that they put in there to give you an idea of size.
They don't even have, like, the cheesy, like, here's a human person, no. and then they no. scale out no. or whatever.
Like, they put them beside trees and shit, but then you're like,
how big is that tree?
How big is that tree? Like, let's be real. Like, how tall is that grass?
That seems like a missed opportunity.
Right? There's one moment where they do it, where they have, like, this other dinosaur, and they tell you, oh, this dinosaur is, like, 4 inches tall, so a tiny 4-inch dinosaur. And then a gigantic frog eats it whole. And then you're like, oh, that must be a big-ass frog.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I wish they did more things to show scale. Because you have to remember, back then, everything was bigger. Yeah. Right?
You so, said a frog ate a 4-foot dinosaur.
Yeah. Like, so, like, when the camera pans out to give you that wide shot, it just looks like a bunch of lions and gazelles in Africa, right? Yeah. It doesn't look like dinosaurs.
Just more lizardy, scaly.
Yeah. Feathery, so, it's just one of those things. Right. But it's cool. I think I have one more episode to watch. But yeah, then I got to cancel my subscription.
So you don't get charged.
Yeah, I have to watch this shit for free. But yeah, that was it for my week. I think next week there was something I wanted to watch.
Okay.
I think I'm going to watch Megalobox.
Ooh.
But that's assuming I have Z time.
You can make it.
No, it's cool. I remembered. I won't have the time.
Don't you got to use up some vacation days before?
You're right. I am. Over? I am on vacation from, there you go. I guess, tomorrow noon to Wednesday.
Yeah. So that's a week to watch Megalobox.
I'll be baby. In America, ladies and gentlemen.
Dude, they just had the thing. You don't want to go there. It's fucking dangerous.
I'll
dude.
Be in America. I'm going to check out the video game museum in Rochester. And it's either the Video Game Museum or Hall of Fame,
okay.
or the Toy Museum and Toy Hall of Fame. Both of them. I don't know which one's which.
Go to both.
No, I'm going to both of them. Oh, okay. I just don't know which one's the Hall of Fame and which one's the museum.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to check out that, and then I'll report back from there.
Dude, if you get recognized at the Toy Hall of Fame.
I won't.
What if you get a real life, when are you going to make another Gundam review?
I'll film them, send that to me, and I'll put that shit
on YouTube.
But yeah, then after that, I'll be in Pennsylvania for a bit.
Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
For some shopping?
For some tax-free shopping.
Hell, it's the only reason people go to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, yeah. So Deborah was like, we gotta go.
I remember when I was a kid, I went to Pennsylvania with my parents.
Yeah.
And I fucking hated it because we just rented a hotel near a mall. And that's all they did. But in my head, I thought Pennsylvania was Transylvania. So I kept making vampire jokes.
No.
And then one day my dad's like, why do you keep making those jokes? I'm like, because it's like Pennsylvania, you know, the vampire. He's like, you mean Transylvania? And I was like, 9. I was like, oh, man.
No vampires.
We're not even in the cool place.
Yo, you're fucked. That sucks.
Yeah.
And you never went to Transylvania.
And I never went to Transylvania to this day.
Damn.
Have never been. Yeah,
get your childhood crushed.
I know. Sucks.
Cool. Anyways, that's it from us.
And remember, they're toys.
Oh, wow.